Lovely to see you all. I wonder if I could just share a couple of notices with you before Jordan starts. I'm so pleased to have our worship led today by Jordan, which will be lovely, and we can sing, which will be fantastic as well. And it's lovely to me to be here, just worshiping as one of the congregation. I'm doing Cafe Church today, which was supposed to be this morning, but it's now this afternoon, which means I can join with you all, which is lovely. Just a few things just to say. One is, obviously, we've lifted restrictions now, so you don't need to wear face coverings, and we can sing, and there will be tea and coffee afterwards. The only thing I would say is please be respectful, particularly of the worship band, who have some younger members that are not even old enough to have a vaccination. So in terms of try not to spit too far forward, and, make sure you give them some space and some distance. Coffee and tea will be served afterwards, which has been lovely. For the first time in over 18 months, we've had tea and coffee. We do desperately need people to help do it. So if you can, if you'd be prepared to help do tea and coffee, even if you just do it once every 8 weeks or something, it would just be amazing. So perhaps if you could contact the office if you're able to help with that. Next Sunday, I'm really, really excited because we're doing the third in our sermon series I've been doing on the God for All visions. And we're doing Tread Gently, and the entire service is going to be led by some of our younger people. So it'd be fantastic if as many people could come as possible just to support them and to encourage them as they minister to us. So that's next Sunday. And then the final thing I have to say is that last Friday we started what we call 4Fs, which we're doing every Friday between now and the end of August, between about 11:30 and 2:30, where we provide fun and a good square cooked meal for children and their families in the summer holidays. There weren't many around last Friday, so if you know any families that would appreciate that and might benefit from that, there's no cost to it, it's all free of charge, and we just want to bless people, so please do send the invitation round. I'm just going to hand over to Jill Williams, who's got a statement to read from the circuit stewards before Jordan leads our worship. Thank you.
Good morning. Just in case you missed this in the bulletin, we thought everybody should be aware. So as you know, over the past months, Dave Milner has spent some time supporting the KOAM circuit, who have been without a superintendent minister. Penrith Methodist Circus have been discussing, praying and deciding how we can best help until September 2022, when our joint profile for a shared minister goes live. A covenant agreement has been created between the circuits detailing how best we can plan for the future. What has been agreed between both circuits through the covenant agreement is that from September this year, Dave Milner will be dividing his time between Penrith Circuit and the KOAM Circuit, with a third of his time in Penrith and two-thirds of his time as acting superintendent of KOAM. In the Penrith Circuit, he will have pastoral responsibility for the chapels, Stainton, Skelton, Cottage Wood and Patterdale. Tim Cook will become sole superintendent of Penrith Circuit, with pastoral responsibility for Penrith Methodist Circuit. Methodist Church, my apologies. This is felt by all to be both a practical and sensible option and has not been undertaken without a lot of prayer and seeking God's guidance. We ask for your understanding and support for both Dave and Tim as they and the circuit stewards from both circuits undertake this task together. If you'd like more information on the proposed changes, then do not hesitate to speak to one of the circuit stewards. That's myself, Keith, or Sheila Mallinson. Thank you.
Fabulous. Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. It's good to be here this morning with you all. Feels like ages since I've stood on this end of the service. I want to just quickly add a notice of my own in at the start, as if you've not had enough already. And I should have thought about how I was wording this beforehand. Obviously, there's a thing at the moment, you might notice, that this building isn't full, and it would normally be. But a symptom of that is that a lot of areas of the church are lacking in volunteers, because We don't have as many people coming to church, so we don't have as many people that are able to do things for the church. And this is an entirely selfish announcement, but one area that is particularly lacking volunteers is that area at the back, just there. As of 9:30 this morning, it was currently just going to be Duncan back there. Fraser very kindly decided to step in and do sound. So if anybody is able to, and running the live stream, for example, which is a new area of ministry, and hopefully I think one that you'll agree is very important, I hope you'll agree is very important as well, is that... running the live stream, for example, is a case of pressing one of six buttons, and all six buttons are labelled and tell you what they do. Running projection is a case of pressing next when the current slide runs out. Sound is a little bit more complicated, so I'll give you a leave if you don't think you can do that one. But if there's anybody who thinks that they can, you know, have basic operation of a computer, then I can teach you how to do the live stream, and we'd be very, very grateful. This also applies to people that are currently watching online. If you have plans to come to the building at any point and want to enable what you're currently watching, that extends to you as well. Let me know, let Duncan know, let Andrew Wright know. We would be very grateful for your support on that. If you are able to even operate the simplest of computers, we can make you do something. And just so it's not entirely selfish, there are, of course, other areas of the church that need your support as well. I just don't know about those. because you don't know about them until you're in the area that is desperately requiring help. Great. Fab. I think that's enough of that. Let's get on with some church stuff. Great. Yeah, let's start in prayer, shall we? Living God, we thank you for the gift of being able to speak to you directly through prayer. Sometimes life feels more and more like an uphill battle, and in those moments we pray for perseverance and that we would not grow weary of doing good. When the world tells us that we are not good enough, you make us more than enough. When we don't feel strong enough, you provide the strength we need. Though we may stumble, you have promised to not let us fall. With Jesus as our ultimate example, we ask for endurance and refreshment so that we may continue to press on and do your work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Great, we're going to move into a time of worship now. And for the first time in, 18 months? I invite you to sing. Woo! As if we don't have enough singers on stage already, you guys can all join in now as well. Sing to your heart's content, whether that is behind a mask or not. I look forward to hearing your beautiful voices fill the church once more. Let's worship.
Thank you, Jordan. Now, whether you've come to church or whether you've tuned in to church because you're needing energy and energizing, or whether you've come because you need God's balm on your life, this song, I think, is a good way to start as we draw our strength from our Lord. So we're going to sing, "Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord," knowing that as we minister or as we join in with the ministry in this church, as we sing together, whether it's quietly or out loud, whatever we do, we're doing it in the spirit of our Lord Jesus, and we're doing it for him, and through that act of joining in worshiping him, we ourselves will find that balm or that energy that we need. So let's sing "Strength Will Rise."
We will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
I treasure, the one that I can't live without. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. If more of you,
blessings are great. Your mercies are rich and for all of us. Lord, your grace knows no boundaries. Lord, we are each one of us invited to the great party that is heaven. Lord, you are calling us into your family. If we're not already members, if we're not already accepting of that great adoption into your family, Lord, you are inviting each and every one. Lord, we pray that you will greatly bless this place, but in turn, Lord, may our praise and our worship of you be a great fragrant offering to the Lord, our Saviour, our Rock, our Comforter, our Guide. Lord, you make our path straight when we call on your name. So, Lord, for all who are feeling lost, we pray that they might turn to you and call on you to make their path straight. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here among us, that you walk with us, and at times, Lord, you carry us when we call on your name and we call on the strength which you offer. Lord, we pray that this morning strength will rise, and we pray that we will accept that which you offer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, worship group. It was lovely to hear people sing. Fab, great. I, just to buck expectation, doing things a little bit differently. We are going to have a Bible reading coming later, but just for now, I wanted to share some poems with you, and so that it's not me talking for the whole service. I would like to invite Marion to come up and share a couple of poems with us that'll feed into what we're going to talk about later on. Thanks, Marion.
Beneath the soil and fresh air you plant, wishing and waiting for the sun and rain. 100 years, with its great roots embedded in rich soil, it held its own among the other trees and never lost its greenness. Its green and heavy branches tell of fresh air and oxygen. Lord, your presence clearly shows the passing years and how the evergreen stood against the wind and snow. And now a poem by Frank McElhenney. Plant me by thy rivers, O living God, that I may drink of thee. Plant me by thy rivers, O living God. Make me like an evergreen tree. My delight is in your love, and it is my roots, sunk down deeper, ever closer to thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Make me like an evergreen tree. Though the landscape turns to desert, and others turn their back on thee, night and day I shall come before you. Make me like an evergreen tree. May I walk in the counsel of the godly, walking ever closer to thee. May I be a vessel for thy good pleasure. Make me like an evergreen tree.
Thanks very much. I'll tie those in later for you. In the meantime, we are going to sing again because we're going to overindulge in something that we've missed out on for a while. So we are going to head over to the trusty organ for this one. I was about to tell you what number it is in the books. I mean, if you want to follow along in the books, you can do, but it is going to be on the screen. It's number 20. It is Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord is moving in this place. Thanks, Gareth. And number 20. Lovely stuff. Cool. So, this morning, work out how I can put this so I'm not going to trip over in literally 30 seconds. I want to talk to you about something super exciting, which is a good start, really, I think. It is quite a controversial issue. I almost don't want to bring it up for fear of, you know, creating too much division in the room. But, you know, I feel like people expect me to shake things up a little bit. So, you know, why not lean into expectation? So we are going to be talking about which foods go in the cupboard versus which foods go in the fridge. Okay? Controversial issue. In fact, let's not mess about. We're going to have some votes now. Where we all are going to just state where we stand on this, and you can look around and just silently judge each other for your kitchen choices. Okay, it's really important that we as a church all know where we stand. So I'm going to call out a food stuff, and if you think it goes in the fridge, pop your hand up, and if you think it goes in the cupboard, keep your hand down, and if you have no strong opinion, then I'm afraid that's not an option in this binary space that I've created. You have to pick one side or the other. So, first up, chocolate. Hands up, who keeps chocolate in the fridge? Yeah,
It's definitely fridge, no question, Jordan. Definitely fridge.
I don't remember asking for further comment, but sure. Maybe in this weather, maybe in this weather. Tomato ketchup, who keeps ketchup in the fridge? Oh, that's far more unanimous. I had a barbecue the other day with some friends, and, you know, I was giving them free food, and I got berated for giving them ketchup out of the, just by one person, ketchup out of the fridge. Mayonnaise, who keeps mayo in the fridge? Oh, you're all very agreeable today. Yeah, absolutely. What about eggs? Who keeps their eggs in the fridge? I heard a no coming from over here. There's even a shelf for them in the fridge. You get that little thing in there, don't you? And then apparently less than half of people use it. Now, what about bread? Who keeps bread in the fridge? Yeah, I do. Goes off too quickly otherwise. What about butter? And I have to say, I'm not talking about margarine here. Anybody that doesn't keep their margarine in the fridge is a psycho and you should leave their house immediately. But proper butter, who keeps proper butter in the fridge? Or wood if you had it about? Yeah, a lot of people. Nobody got a butter dish on the side? Yeah. Last one, jam. Who keeps jam in the fridge? Yeah, exactly. We make it into a jam because it's a preservative and then we put it in the fridge anyway. Great. Okay, so now it's good to know what camps we're all in. I feel like we're all a lot stronger together because of that. You also know whose mayonnaise not to touch when you go around their house. I did look up all the official answers for those, so I know who was wrong and who was right. And I could have shared those with you, but I thought there was something poetic about not knowing who was wrong and who was right. But just know that I am judging approximately half of you. But I want to add a third option into the mix. And if you'll allow me to sound like a news report for a minute or two, it seems to be one that's going to become ever more relevant. Because instead of cupboard or fridge, a rising option seems to be the freezer. And according to some studies, this is where I really sound like a news report, according to some studies, it seems that millennials and Gen Zers, are driving a renewed lenience on the, I feel like my hair is getting in the way of the mic, is that what's happening? Driving a renewed lenience on the humble freezer, they helped drive an over 25% increase in sales of frozen goods last year. There you go. Every time you come to church, you learn something new, even if it's just about the sale of frozen goods. It seems that given the tendency for sort of those generations to either live alone or to cook separately from roommates or whatever, that fresh food is just less of an option and that longevity is more of a key. Do you know what? I'm going to switch over to this one, I think, and that might help.
Oh, that's not going to help at all.
Option. There we go. Yes, longevity is key. I'm going to spend just 30 seconds trying to fix this, and then I'm going to forget about it. Let's see whether that helps. Yes, longevity is key. That's where I was. And you can see that in my fridge at home, if any of you dare to enter. In my fridge, there's just the essentials in there. You've got your bread, your milk, your butter, and just a whole shelf full of cheese. As I say, just the essentials. Everything else, including grated cheddar cheese, chopped vegetables, meat, bags of frozen veg, mashed potato, chopped fruit, pretty much everything else lives in the freezer. I use about 2 shelves of my fridge, and my freezer is chock full. And why? Because when you don't need something right now, you pop it in the freezer until you do, knowing that it's going to be perfectly fine when you take it out. And I wonder if that's what we've done with church for the last year. Now, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to suggest that the church has been entirely dormant for the past year, because that is just obviously not true. We all know that. I am slightly bending the metaphor to make it work. But what would a sermon be without a slightly bent metaphor, you know? It's more like we put church life in the freezer and then we sort of pulled little bits of it out to defrost and to cook up something nice. Sunday services, for example, or at least physical Sunday services, they had to be put on ice for quite some time until we could, you know, take them back out of the freezer, defrost them, and start using them again. But here's the thing. The world and our lives are not the same as they were 18 months ago. And not just because of the pandemic, just because of the passage of time as well. And so it's not necessarily true that what was fresh in February 2020 is still fresh in July 2021. So one of my biggest guilty pleasures, and I'm going to admit to you now, is Gordon Ramsay's TV programs. I am fully aware that they are trash TV, especially the American ones that are just so over-exaggerated it honestly hurts to watch sometimes, but I just can't peel my eyes away from them. And in his show Kitchen Nightmares, where he goes into failing restaurants and just shouts at these poor restaurant owners that are presumably doing their best, one thing that really gets him mad in that show is when these restaurants are using frozen food. According to him, frozen food is just nowhere near as good as fresh. So just according to him, just taking food out of the freezer isn't good enough. You've got to make an extra effort to make it work again once it's been frozen. Now, my cooking skills are very much chuck it in the oven at 200 degrees and hope for the best, take it out before it turns black. That sort of thing, you know. So for me, the sort of work coming out of the freezer looks a lot like seasoning, you know. Some salt, some pepper, maybe some chili flakes if I'm feeling particularly exotic. Something like that, just so, you know, zhuzh it up a bit. And so right now, as we are taking our church out of the freezer, or as I say, large chunks of it out of the freezer, I think we need to be thinking about the seasoning that we're going to bring to this new season of church. Thankfully, there is this book called The Bible that has some pointers on that, which Marion is going to come up and read to us now, some verses from Joel. Thanks, Marion.
From Joel chapter 2, selected verses from verses 20 to 30, and it can be found on page 913 in the church Bibles if you want to follow it. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Amen.
Thanks, Marion. So those verses from Joel speak of a time after a plague, which I don't know about you, is a bit on the nose, really, isn't it? You know, sometimes you just got to tell the Bible writers, to just stop being so specific to the exact situation you're in. A time after a plague, but a time that will see a form of revival. It would be so easy to treat this time that we're in now as a time of just recovery, which is, of course, what it is. You know, we are, in to some extent, recovering. But there's so many times in the Bible where divinity is found in the aftermath of some hardship. And do you notice how God isn't just saying to the people of Judah, you know, don't worry, we're going to put things back to how they were. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, you're going to be repaid for that time of the plague, and then you'll do even greater things. You will have new dreams. You will prophesy. You will have more of my spirit in you. It's similar to that bit in Isaiah where he says, behold, I am doing a new thing. You know, it's God saying, don't stop there. You know, wherever you are, don't stop there. Come with me. You know, let's keep this thing fresh and exciting. And I know it might seem easy for someone like me, a so-called young person. That's not my words. I was very happy at the start of the service when Tim said that next week the service will be led by some of our young people, which includes me. Thank you, Tim. I am now 26, I know, and some of my friends take a great delight in saying that I am in my late 20s, with an emphasis on the late. I would prefer mid-20s, but no, they very much stick to the late thing. I don't feel young, but at the same time, I'm aware that when I started my local preacher training, I think the order of local preachers in terms of age was me, and then Nigel was the next youngest person after me.
27.
Yes, 27 plus a few. So by some definitions, I suppose I am young. So yes, I appreciate it might seem easy for me to swan in with all of my youthful energy and dignity and say that we need to keep things fresh. And it is easy. That's totally the easy bit. That's why I'm up here doing it today. But that doesn't mean that it's not still possible to do the rest of it. I still believe that Penrith can have its own form of revival. And this is a church-wide issue. You know, this isn't just specific to PMC. Obviously not. Through my work over the last year as an enabler of digital ministries, which just means I know how to run a live stream, I'm connected with many client churches across the UK and even a couple across the world, and they are all having this same conversation about how to keep church fresh in 2021. Even the, you know, supposedly trendy churches that you would think it would just come naturally to, everybody, every church, everywhere is having that same conversation of how do we keep church fresh in 2021. And I would tell you, but my notes have just disappeared. So that's a good sign. Whilst we're talking about Nigel, not that I like to say too many nice things about him, one thing I do remember from when he was mentoring me as a local preacher, he said, always have a hard copy of your notes on you. which is entirely wrong. We're getting there. We're getting there. Yes, every church, everywhere, is having this conversation about how to keep church fresh. What does a fresh church look like in 2021? So yes, it is a church-wide issue, but it is also a Penrith issue. One that has the same goals, but that is going to get there in a different way from every other church everywhere. You know, I don't want to rule anything out, but I would hazard a guess that revival in Penrith will not take the form of thousands of people clamouring to get into this building at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. That doesn't mean it won't, but I would hazard a guess that that's probably not what it's going to look like. And why should it? Because that is not what God promises to the people of Judah in those verses from Joel. What he promises is people dreaming new dreams. And that seems way more achievable to me. And I mean, we're already sort of starting to do that. You know, we're hiring a pioneer. I'm not sure. Actually, the job posting's out, isn't it? Yeah, great. I suddenly thought, actually, how much of that information is out in the public? Yes, we're hiring somebody to lead some pioneer ministries in our own church. That, to me, is dreaming new dreams. I hear suggestions that the church should be like an evergreen tree, like the poems that we heard before, standing strong and resolute through all seasons. And of course, to some extent, I do agree with that. It is my belief and my hope that God's church will always have a central place at the heart of society doing his work. But the thing about evergreen trees that I learnt is that whilst they appear to be for the most part unchanging, what is actually happening is a constant shedding and regrowing of leaves. So whilst the trunk of the tree remains largely unchanged, if a little bigger from year to year, the leaves, the life, the face of the tree is not the same one as last year. So, a question I think for us all to ponder is, what does a fresh church look like in Penrith in 2021? One that keeps its trunk, keeps its core, but sheds the dying leaves in place for new ones that will bring life and growth. I've not got answers. I mean, I have ideas, but this isn't my personal soapbox. Unfortunately, that would make the sermon approximately four times as long. If you do want to see my personal soapbox, add me as a friend on Facebook. For example, I know that Tim has been talking about very similar things since we sort of came back to physical services, and I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, I think God is going to use this as a workshop time for Penrith, a time to workshop some new ideas in his church and see how they go. And you here right now in this building, us, are perfectly placed to respond to that. And of course, to do all of that in prayerful consideration alongside God. Which leads us nicely into our next hymn, almost as if I planned it. Again, we're going back to the books, but the words will be on the screen. This is number 410. We are going to sing, Lord, Your Church on Earth is Seeking. Thanks, Gareth. So, we've talked about keeping church fresh in Penrith in 2021, and in an ideal world, everybody's heads are now buzzing with ideas. Yeah, I can see nods. Yeah, you've all got it. If this was a church council meeting, we'd get a flip chart out, start noting them all down, but it's not, so we won't. But one thing I do want to just touch on is that a church of fresh faith needs people with fresh faith. Because whilst we may have had to put aspects of our church life on ice for the last year, it's also possible that some of us have, deliberately or otherwise, put parts of our own personal spiritual life on ice for the past year. Not completely, otherwise you wouldn't be here today, you know, but parts of it. And to be honest, I think that's completely understandable to some extent. You know, because whether it was church or worship or fellowship or family, a lot of us had our gateways to God made a lot more tricky in March last year. For example, for me, I'll talk about me because I'm the only person I know that well. Writing messages like this is a great way for me to connect with God, and to sort of explore an idea around faith with Him and to really delve deep into it, and to also do so on a schedule so that other people know if I haven't done it. Many of you will know that I used to, and hopefully will again, lead or co-lead a evening service here at PMC called Encounter. And obviously that took a hiatus at the same time as all other physical services. So for me, that sort of gateway to God was cut short by the pandemic. And there'll be other things for you as well. And so finding those pathways to connect with God throughout the last year has been essentially starting from scratch. You know, because all the ones that you sort of lent on were suddenly not possible. Or at least were in a different form, you know. For example, physical services went digital, which was great. I love the digital. And I'm sure there'll be similar other things for people in this room that make you feel like, in hindsight, maybe you've been a little bit more dormant in your faith in the last year than you normally would have been in a normal year, whatever one of those is. But I think all of what I said about church needing to be freshened up in 2021 also applies to us as individuals. Because, yeah, we can go back and we can start to pick up some of the stuff that fed us before, but we can also use this as an opportunity to find new expressions of our own faith. We have this whole year of lived experience, and let's face it, it's a lived experience that's like very few others, that we can bring to God, and we can find new, fresh things in there to revitalize our relationship with God. And then find new, fresh ways to action that in the world, whatever that means for you. And so whether you, you know, look back and think that maybe your spirituality has taken a bit of a dip this year, or whether you think that actually you've done pretty well with that, actually. Don't leave that there. Wherever you are on that sort of spectrum, don't leave that there. Because as I say, a church of fresh faith needs people of fresh faith. So use this opportunity to seek out the things that God is doing in you and in those that you love around you as well. Dream those new dreams. If you're feeling particularly spiritual, you know, get prophesying. Become Penrith's very own Isaiah. I mean, it's possible that Isaiah it's possible that's a bit of a high goal. Maybe aim, Isaiah's not the minimum requirement. Maybe aim there and, you know, fall somewhere in between. Imagine what a fresh outpouring of God looks like in you, in your family, in your friends, in your neighbours, in Penrith and beyond. And then imagine what you can do to bring that about. And with that in mind, let's bring some of the issues of today to God in prayer. I often feel like a lot of the time, intercessory prayer can just be a bit of a downer. It can just be a list of rubbish things that are happening in the world at the moment. And I have a feeling that that's exactly what I'm about to do, even though I acknowledge it. But I think we can put a positive spin on it, because given what we've just been thinking about, I want us to reframe these prayers. I want to think about them all within the scope of those last sort of few sentences I said, which I'm sure you can all remember word for word. But the gist of it is, imagine what a fresh outpouring of God looks like in that situation, and imagine what you, we, or God can do to bring that about. Let's acknowledge the problems where they exist, but pray with a positive faith for their resolution. Let's pray. Yeah, God, we thank you for how our communities have both grown and become tighter in the last year. We think of those new communities, new friendships, new relationships that we have managed to make over the last year, and the ones that we've managed to keep going. Thinking about community, we pray for those communities still affected by outbreaks of the virus, particularly in the Eden area. But as a solution to that, we pray for the vaccination program, that a level of immunity can mean that we can begin to turn our eyes to the new things that you have incoming. We pray for those that we know currently suffering through illness or bereavement. We think of their names now. We lift those names to you. And we pray your love be known through us and others to those people. We pray for those looking towards what's next. New jobs, university, college, any of those sort of big life changes. We pray that you are a certainty in all of that unknown and a friend in the celebrations along the way. We pray for your church, in particular the Methodist Church, here in Penrith, as we see some changes to how things work behind the scenes with Dave and Tim reshuffling, and as we begin to approach what PMC looks like in today's world. We pray for Dave, we pray for Tim, leadership, and all the group leaders as well, as decisions are being made and enacted. We also pray for the Methodist Church as a whole in light of the big decisions made this year at conference. We pray, God, that where there are situations that we are not aware of, that we may shed your light, that you nudge us towards those people and situations so that we can do your work on earth. And we pray that we can use each day to step just a little closer to you. Amen. we are about to wrap up, but not before we get another song in there. So I'll invite the worship group back on up. One thing to definitely worship for is tea and coffee, which is going to be through in the hall, I assume? Yes, good. Great. Head on through to the hall, which is just sort of hook round that way afterwards. I'm sure there'll be people to direct you if you don't know where you're going, to indulge in some refreshments with people. Obviously, just be aware that other people might be doing more socially distancing things than you, and, you know, just, yeah. Do what you want is essentially the new thing. Let's close in prayer. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And let's just close with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit evermore. Amen. Again, you can see people's faces when you do that now. Marvellous. Have a great week and enjoy tea and coffee.